Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mid-19th century, four different kinds of wood.
Is it missing an inlay?
No, I thought it was missing an inlay.
Perfect condition.
How much?
$3,500 for the pair.
You must be joking.
No, no joke.
Well, they're nice, but they're certainly not that nice.
Not a better pair on the East Coast.
$2,000.
You're from Hartford?
Yes. It hardly matters where I'm from. I know these pieces are overpriced.
Look on the bottom.
They're not signed.
Look on the bottom.
Are they signed?
Look on the bottom. They're signed.
Hey, guys, it's Sandra.
This is Emily.
And I'm Jess. Welcome to today's town meeting. And now...
It's time for Sandra's Sucky Summaries.
Hey, Grandma, want to see the literal shed I lived in as a child? No? You sure? That's right, folks. Emily's in Stars Hollow. Antiquing, walking in jogging shoes, and making friends. That is, of course, until Rory shows Emily said potting shed, and suddenly Rory has a room at the Gilmores. And Lorelai's being yelled at once again. Speaking of Lorelai, Rachel enlists her help, read Luke, and Lorelai delivers in spades. Looks like Rachel's here to stay. Right? In Rory's life, Lane has boy problems. Even when Henrik finally calls, he's still kind of in the wrong. But hey, at least someone's calling. We also find out throughout the episode that Lorelai had a huge head as a child. Emily thinks the Backstreet Boys are the backside boys. And Luke picked out some quote-unquote frilly curtains. We end the episode with Lorelai, Rory, and Suki looking at the dragonfly, this decrepit inn that kind of looks like a dream, and they start to imagine a future where they can have it. And that was Emily in Wonderland. Let's discuss.
All right, I gotta be honest, guys. I didn't pay attention to a single thing in the scene because Rory's little hairband in her, like, the front of her head distracted me so much.
Oh, yes, a front braid.
It's a look.
If it had gone braided all the way down, you know, like braided down the length of her hair and then tied off at the bottom, it wouldn't have been as out of place. But yeah, or a brown hairband.
I gotta say, I'm kind of offended on Lorelai's behalf in this scene.
Oh yeah, me too.
That, like, your mother makes fun of your head size so much that by the time you're, what, 7 or 10, you destroy all of your baby pictures.
I think she said 7. That's pretty bad.
I know we talk about Emily being harsh, but, like, this is being harsh on a kid, like, before Lorelai's attitude. Hey, maybe this is where Lorelai's attitude started.
But I do love the 4, 3, 2, 1. In some regards, right? Like, Emily saw the punchline and went for it. Like, she heard Lorelai and she was like, yep, this is my moment.
Yep.
Oh, Emily. She's certainly not winning Mother of the Year anytime soon.
Not, this was a hard episode for her, let's say that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's coming off a pretty rough episode. Like, the third Lorelai was not the episode for her.
That was not nice to her. I don't know. I think Emily still has some sweet moments in this episode.
Yeah, she does.
Yes, definitely. There's a couple of moments that I, like, have specifically pulled out that I'm like, I'm glad Emily is here. I'm glad she is saying what she's saying.
Guys, I gotta tell you something. This is actually one of my favorite all-time episodes. And I know it's a filler episode. I know it's not really, like, a big episode in terms of things that happen. But just... Emily gets a look into their lives for the first time. Also, we see a lot of iconic places for the first time. And, like, it's so... These places are so important to people. I don't know, I just like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a heartwarming episode. Mm-hmm. It's not... I mean, obviously there's drama, but it's not huge on the drama. And I feel like it's kind of toned down drama just for this one episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can see it. Just, it's an overall, for the most part, I feel like a cozy feeling episode.
I agree.
And my favorite Gilmore Girl episodes are the cozy ones. Or the Jess ones. You know, either one.
Can we talk about the Rachel-Lorelai friendship that is, like, fighting so hard in this episode? Because when we get past the theme song, we jump right into, like, Rachel Luke's is Steiner, trying yeah. so hard to be friends with Lorelai. She's trying so hard, guys.
I made a she comment needs a friend. On that. Or I made a note on that, though, of, like, Rachel sees the relationship between Luke and Lorelai. Mm-hmm. Like, she sees that there is something there, whether either of them know it or not. Like, she sees it. And instead of being jealous or instead of trying to drive a wedge between them or anything, she just sees, hey, here's this person important in this guy who I love, really like, I don't know, important yeah. in his life, though, and mm-hmm. I'm going to find a way to include her in my life as well. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was really cool and really sweet versus other times of, oh, here's this other woman, now I'm going to be catty.
I have a controversial thing, guys. Not really about Rachel. How does Luke get these women?
Because he puts that notepad in the front of his pants. Come on.
That's it, Jess.
But he's grumpy as hell.
Yeah?
I love Luke. He's, you know, I love Luke and Lorelai. I'm just...
That's why.
It's just a question.
But, I mean, to get back to my point, I think that Rachel sharing mm-hmm. that picture she took of Luke and Lorelai is a really great example of her, like, trying to build kind of like a friendship between the three of them. Because she presents it proudly, it doesn't feel like a gotcha moment or anything. It's like, hey, I got this great picture of the two of you. And Lorelai is the one who's, like, weirded out by it. And Luke yeah. is weirded out by it. Oh, and
Luke is super weirded out. The whole, like, us, like, he mm-hmm. can't even imagine a world where Luke and Lorelai would be an us.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
Rachel reminds me a lot of Lorelai, though.
Oh, yeah,
in
definitely.
Her wit, in her way she addresses people.
Oh, you're different people. You're completely... No, you're not.
No, they're mm-hmm. literally the same person.
Yeah.
One has one's a curly redhead.
And it's so funny, yeah. later on in this episode, when they are out at the Dragonfly, they're both out there in their black leather jackets, and I was just like, who are these two ladies in their leather jackets and their curls looking at the inn? They're the same right? lady.
They are. They have immediate sarcasm together. Like, they pick it up immediately.
Witty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we have, like, the bright brilliance that is Rachel.
Yeah.
And it's followed up very quickly by the return of something awful.
Hold on. Before we get to the awful point, I just want to mention this. Luke spills coffee, and it's one of the funniest things.
So he did that, and it reminded me very, very much of a much later episode, right after mm-hmm. they get together, when she trips, like, slides yep. on the table in the inn and, like, nearly falls, makes a complete floor, by the way, makes yeah. a complete floor of herself. I just had throwbacks, which I know that's a few episodes, but, like, the two just reminded me of each other. Yeah.
It was very cute.
It was.
But yes, something evil this way comes.
And we have no warning. He's just there. This terrible, terrible little man reappears in our lives. We thought we were done with him, but no. He's
Attack
been
of the
in
Moon
Stars
Part
Hollow.
Two.
He hasn't left.
He hasn't left,
but what surprised me is Lorelai sees him and just immediately gets exasperated, but she doesn't look surprised that he's there.
Yeah.
At least I didn't think she did.
No, yeah. She just, like, covers her face and tries to move on.
Right?
Speaking of which, there's, like, a translating scene, which I thought was mm-hmm. cool, like, just to incorporate the fact that she's a manager. I could never do that, talk while someone else is talking, like she was doing. That was excellent.
I could never be the translator. Mm-hmm. Like, listening to one person say something in one language, translate it in your head into another language while still listening to the things they're still saying and continuing to speak the things, like, that is just way too much for my brain to handle.
I will say, like, whenever, because my grandma only speaks Spanish, whenever I would have to translate for her, right, mm-hmm. it's always, like, that pause of, like, am I saying the right word?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hope so.
Yeah, right. I hope I'm getting everything across right, but who knows? You know who does know? Apparently this new guy, Roger, who works there. Yeah. Alongside Michelle.
Always nice to get another named employee.
Yeah, we'll never see him again.
No.
But he was Michelle, there. As always, looks great. But Michelle, how do you still have a job?
truly
Michelle was so rude. But we haven't got it there. Rune is here. Rune, unfortunately, is here. Suki, I just want to mention, looked so adorable and pretty in the scene.
She does.
I know we're going to discuss it, but I love that knitted bandana she has.
And I just want to briefly mention, I just started watching Nine Perfect Strangers last night.
I wanted to mention it too.
And Melissa's in it.
She's so good.
Such a different character, such a different person. But it's just like, when I see her, it still makes me smile. Because I'm like, look at you. Look how successful you are. I love that you came up from Gilmore, you know?
Listen, there's like a creepy alien like Nicole Kidman. Doesn't matter. Melissa steals the show.
She absolutely does. It feels like it's about her. Yeah. This scene is a really good example of, again, a way that they're showing the world goes on outside of the Gilmore house. Because Suki and Jackson have been dealing with the Rune situation since the Rune date. And it's something that's been going on and going on. And they've come up with a solution. And they're going to give it to Lorelai. And there's just a little bit of a communication error there.
Suki's so cute with her little, like, spoon waving.
And Jackson is so cute with his jam. He's so excited about this jam.
I don't understand how Jackson does not see the air signals going on in the background.
I mean, she's waving all over like crazy.
Jackson wants to get rid of Rune.
Lorelai makes a comment in another episode, I think, trying to get Luke's attention, or Lane's attention. Hello, landing planes over here. I think this is much, much farther in the series.
Yeah.
But that's what this reminded me of. Suki's over here, like, dramatically waving her arms, like, no, no, don't, stop. And Jackson's just sweet, oblivious.
He's just so focused on Lorelai. He's really very grateful to her.
You know I love me some background stuff. I'm going to save my background stuff for Luke's apartment.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that's called.
Yeah.
But I do want to mention the bucket of potatoes. Because it was so funny. It's just a bucket of potatoes in the middle of this thing.
It's an inn. People love potatoes.
Yeah. And you go through a lot of potatoes.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I'm just pointing it out.
Maybe mashed potatoes are on the menu.
Oh, God. Yeah. Mashed potatoes would be so good right now. But that's neither here nor there.
So, I mean, they end up... Lorelai ends up saying she will give Rune a job. And they also bring up him lodging there, and it kind of brings up the potting shed, which we really haven't heard of before this point. It becomes a pretty key element of this episode.
Speaking of which, we didn't mention the fact that Rory actually invited Emily to Stars Hollow.
Yes. Yeah, Emily gets to come to Stars Hollow because she wants antiques. And who do we know that has the best antiques in Connecticut? Mrs. Kim.
Well, Mrs. Kim.
Mr. and Mrs. Kim at this point.
There is a Mr. Kim. He does exist.
Yeah. As of now. If you say so.
Supposedly.
But Rune is going to live in the potting shed, which is where Lorelai and Rory lived when Lorelai was a maid. And it's surprising to me how willing Lorelai is to do that, especially after we see how nostalgic it is for Rory when we see her later.
Well, Suki kind of gives the guilt trip a little thick. Not that thick, but it's there.
Yeah.
She does. And as emotional and sentimental as that potting shed is, Lorelai is also very pragmatic.
Yes.
And probably understands, like, there's literally no reason not to, other than emotional attachment. Who knows what that potting shed is even being used for right now. Storage, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. She is professional. She's super good at being a manager, so it makes sense that she would put aside, like, personal attachment for it.
But yeah, Rune is now working at the, I was going to say the dragonfly, but that's not it at all.
We do get our first look at it. I have a question for you guys. Do either of you ever just eat jam with a spoon?
I mean, I would have tried it.
Maybe trying it, but, like, I love, like, raspberry jam is my favorite thing in the world. I would not eat just straight raspberry jam. It's just too sweet.
No, me neither.
Like, I understand trying it, but then she just keeps eating it until she, like, hands it back.
I also can't just eat, like, peanut butter by the spoon. I know people I do either. That. I can't. I need to put on something. Anyway, Emily is in Stars Hollow, and
Emily? Did you travel to Stars Hollow?
Emily is in Stars Hollow, next week. And she wore the wrong shoes.
Okay, first off, whose car is this? Have we ever seen this car before? We've seen this car before? Because I don't remember it.
Have we really seen Emily driving before, though?
I don't think so. I mean, Mrs. What's-Her-Face was like, women can't drive, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, women can't drive. We're all horrible drivers.
Yeah.
I mean, for Sean and I, like, Sean has his car, I have my car. I think we've only seen Richard drive up to this point. So I'm assuming it would have been in his car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Emily, this is only her third time at Lorelai and Rory's house because she was there for the birthday and then when she went over for the dance.
Oh, right, you're right.
So this is only her third time, which I think can excuse why she's like shocked at them not having any food in the fridge. Because I think it's probably a well-known thing that there's no food in the Gilmore Girls fridge.
There was nothing in that fridge.
There was literally nothing.
Not even leftovers.
I didn't even see the tea.
So for the birthday party, I can understand there being a bunch of food in the fridge. But when she came over for the dance, like, that was just a normal...
Well, she at least had bananas and toast.
Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't a mention then about no food in the fridge.
Yeah, because she was probably in their fridge because she was probably looking for something to feed Lorelai. Plot hole.
I don't know. Apparently there was a leftover burrito in the fridge.
Yeah.
They just didn't do the groceries this week. I could see that. Maybe you know what? They're still... They're probably avoiding Dozies.
Oh, that could totally be it.
Like, Rory's I'm not going to Dozies.
I can see Lorelai avoiding it for, like, companionship. Or...
Yeah.
And not just because the prop department was like, I don't want to put food in the refrigerator.
Either way, Rory has decided that today is going to be a full-on tour of the town, and they are going to walk, and that means Emily has to change her shoes. And I just love the whole conversation around the shoes. Emily's like, what does she say? She's I don't want anything that lights up. Or makes
animal noises, has rhinestones.
She knows her daughter. Like, Lorelai doesn't want to admit it, but Emily kind of knows what
And what's Lorelai funny is likes. That Lorelai doesn't usually go to Emily's with rhinestones or anything of that nature on. So how does Emily even know?
I mean,
because Emily knows Lorelai.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether Lorelai likes it or not.
She likes all the same stuff that she likes when she was a teen.
I will say, I am surprised that Emily and Lorelai would have a close enough shoe size, because traditionally I feel like the taller you are, the larger your feet are, like, just in general. Lorelai has a good couple of inches on Emily.
The shoes were probably big on her.
Yeah, she's way too big, and she's
well. That's what she says, right? That she feels like a Clydesdale. Do you guys know what that is?
Yes,
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're the horse girl.
I spent a lot of time with horses.
The Budweiser Clydesdale. Come on. Midwest here.
Yeah, no, Clydesdale. The beer horses. Yeah, they pull the Budweiser wagon. But right after Emily and Rory head out is when we actually get our first look at the dragonfly. First official,
because we saw the photo.
We've heard about it.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It is, but it's a mess in the way that, like, a beautiful old inn is a mess in a TV show.
Very whimsical.
And I know Lorelai has them on her house, too, but I love the purple...
Is it wisteria? Purple,
yeah, wisteria, yeah. I looked it up at some point. Very invasive flower, apparently.
Yeah.
But they're so pretty. I love those flowers.
It's so tastefully grown over. The banister is lightly popped off. The shutters are sitting against the wall.
They can still go on the stairs.
Like, somebody came up and I was like, I'm gonna lightly disarray this building.
Exactly. Which, I mean, I love the dragonfly. I love the process of the dragonfly becoming the dragonfly. This is obviously when we get our first taste of it. But this is also that scene that I was like, just two girls in their black leather jackets hanging out. Like, how can you tell me these aren't the same lady?
Well, I can tell you there's a difference. Rachel's ready to settle down with Luke. That's what she says.
Yeah, she says so.
So, what's the time frame here? Because, like, she says, I think she says she's been here a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right? Well, she's just developed a photo.
So, somewhere. Right,
that she took, and that was the first day.
Yeah. So, she just developed, I think, in a few minutes when Lane and Rory have a conversation, Lane says something about, like, it's been a week.
Has it really only been a week? That's crazy.
So, Rachel came in at, like, the day of the Founders Day Parade, right? Or the day before. So, I mean, so has she been here a week or weeks?
At the most, a week and a half.
Girl has been gone for years. For years. Mm-hmm. And a week and a half in, like, yeah, but I want to settle down with my old boyfriend who I haven't talked to in 8 years.
Yeah, that's
and
the thing.
It's time to get serious.
Like, I understand that they did have a relationship before, and it seemed like it was pretty serious. And when people do get back with their exes, a lot of the time it does move faster because you already have that history. You don't have to go through all the same steps. But leaving suddenly and then being gone for, like, 5 years and then coming back, that's a wild thing to propose. Especially when the other person is clearly, like, I don't believe you. Because Luke doesn't buy it.
She comes in the midst of Lorelai and Luke kind of trying to figure out their feelings. And that's just all been erased from a week and a half of this woman. I mean, to be fair, she's a great person. She's not a bad
I love Rachel. I wish we would have seen her come back. I
think that would have been good.
A specific role in the future.
Other people, I agree.
Instead of somebody else.
Oh my gosh, yeah, same.
Because it would have made much more sense, I guess. But then we wouldn't have had this part.
Yeah.
Whole time loop thing. But, like, I love Rachel's character. And that's probably because she's so similar to Lorelai.
She could have realistically played Lorelai.
Yeah, it still seems really that fast. Actress.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just she.
Yeah. Maybe she was runner-up.
Oh, she's so good, yeah.
She's like, let's get you in here just a little bit.
I mean, we do know that Amy loves to, like, use actors when she meets them and she likes them.
Yeah, so Emily's going through this town, and we go into Kim's Antiques, and she's immediately like, this is the storeroom, or, like, we came in through the back, because this is a mess, this is disgusting, look at this.
Yeah.
Oh my god, do you see this? This is so beautiful. It's so funny. But Lane rushing in.
This is, like, one of my favorite scenes of this episode.
Me too.
Yes.
But real quick, I know we're going to talk about fashion, but Lane looks like a waitress.
She really does.
It's so funny.
I have called her out on her fully buttoned up button-ups, but this one is truly buttoned up all the way. Even the little tiny collar button is buttoned.
Yeah.
Girl needs to relax.
I think Mrs. Kim needs to relax. Well, I feel like she probably could have come downstairs without it unbuttoned, and Mrs. Kim would have just looked at her, and so she would have buttoned it.
Yeah. But we have a little bit of boy talk, because, again, things go on outside of the Gilmore house. Lane is still kind of trying to figure out this thing with this new boy who's kind of perfect, but maybe that's too perfect.
It's interesting, the concept of, like, that Lane has in her head of, I like him so much, but if other people like him, I'll stop liking him.
Well, I think the thing here is that Lane bases a lot of her personality and her self-worth around, like, the secret side of her that her mother does not approve of.
Yeah.
Like, that's where she feels the truest to herself. And knowing that her mother would approve of something, and she is fighting internally so hard against her mother's approval, I'm sure that that is very hard to come to terms with. And to, like, to know that her mom, think about when Lorelai goes out with guys that her mom likes, like, that freaks her out.
It's a very strong Lorelai vibe.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with this situation with Lane. Like, that knowledge that her mom would approve makes it feel like it's not the right decision for her, because she doesn't agree with her mom's decisions.
One other thing that Lane mentions is that she wants to change her hair color, right?
Yeah!
Which is a little bit of foreshadowing of a later, I think,
season 2.
I love
that scene. I'm excited to get to it. Isn't it later?
Yes.
Or is it two?
I think it's season two.
It's after Jess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Shane.
At least.
Oh, that might even be three.
Yeah, because I think season two is pretty solidly Dean and Rory. And I think Jess is season three?
Well, he's in season two.
End of season.
Yeah, I think he shows up in season two.
In season two.
Yes, with how season two.
Yes, yes, yes.
We'll get there. Can't we'll get there. We're almost done with one.
Anyway, Lane being amazing.
Yes. And meanwhile, Mrs. Kim comes over and she's like, what did she say? Like 300? No, wait. I'm making
it's
up a number.
It's like
3,600.
Yeah. That was it. And Emily's like 2,000.
And Mrs. Kim responds with, "You're from Hartford." Yeah. Yes, I'm from Hartford. What does that have to do with anything?
That's that extra 600
like, I know
bucks.
You city
that's
types.
That's what it has to do with it.
They have such a good back and forth, such a great energy. It reminds me a little bit of, like, Lorelai finding kind of an equal in Rachel. You know, Emily has a little bit of an equal in Mrs. Kim, where they just, like, they vibe. Mm-hmm. They don't realize they
why did we not get more of this? Right? Just once a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is such a great little scene of seeing them go back and forth.
Well, I thought it was really nice, also, is that Emily likes her, right? She's like, I love this town. I love this street. Blah, blah, blah. I love this. I love that. I could see Emily living in Stars Hollow.
She would have to live in a really nice house
Stars Hollow.
She would have to be, like, the richest woman in Stars Hollow. But, like, I could see them having, like, a little place there, too. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, a weekend-y type place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can see her staying there for a week and enjoying it. I cannot see Emily living.
Oh, she wouldn't.
Like, oh, she wouldn't do town meetings or anything like that.
Okay, yeah, not even that, but just like the whole. I can't see her being a townie.
No,
yeah,
like, going to Luke's and you know just having her spots that she goes to every day. I think she says it in a future episode. Actually, that she would kill herself to live in small town.
You know what? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this is what I get for jumping seasons.
Real quick, Mrs. Kim and Emily, they say it's like the Williams sisters, right? And
yes.
I really love that because it is. It was back and forth. They, I really think that they should have explored Mrs. Kim and Emily more than they did. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
They would have gotten along great. They would have both been like, how do you lock your daughter up?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I turn the key. What do you do? I lock the windows. I take the phone.
And then we jump back to the inn.
Yes, we do.
For more Rune.
So, ugh. Michelle, how does Michelle have this job? Because literally, what if Rune was a guest?
Yeah, this is like, but here's the thing. When we set out to do this podcast, we set out particularly because we wanted to talk about like issues and stuff. This is like such a terrible example of like blatant
classism.
And like because Michelle looks at this man and he goes, oh, this guy couldn't afford to be here, and he just runs with it.
Yes,
his job is to
Rune
welcome
goes,
people to the inn.
Rune takes it the racist way and goes, do you know English? Right. So both of them were in the wrong here.
Oh, yeah.
This whole scene is just terrible.
Michelle is technically an employee of the, and he's supposed to be representative of this place. So him attacking a guest is 100% probably not the best idea. But Rune didn't even talk yet before he got attacked. But as soon as Rune talked, I was like, well, okay, what the racism?
He's Rune.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to say something terrible.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Lorelai at the very least should have been like, you're an employee to Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go away. Like, obviously it's Rune.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be held reliable for what you're saying at this point, I guess. But for the first thing to come out of his mouth to be something like that of go in the back. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, you are not being a good representative of this company, of this business right now.
But now Rune is also an employee. So, like, you cannot go to people who have an accent or something like that and say, do you speak English? Right?
No.
And he also says, go build us another statue, which it did make me laugh. But yes. It kind of messed up.
Right? And then Rune finishes this whole encounter up with, I think I sprained my shoulder. Will you carry my bag for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lorelai at that point should have just been like, you know what? You're done.
But you know what I thought was really funny was when Rune's like, oh, we dated. And Michelle's just like, you dated this man?
Excuse me?
And Lorelai's like, it was just one night. And he's like, I'm sorry.
So you're confirming.
That's the worst possible way that you could respond to that statement. It was just one night. Girl!
No. Your response should have been, it was a blind date for Suki.
Right?
And that would have been like, can't fight you for being a good friend.
I mean, he would, but yeah.
Maybe Michelle could, but...
But yeah, no, handyman, but can't pick up a bag.
Gosh. What a joke. Great. Done with Rune.
Super.
Moving on.
Emily arrives.
Emily!
Is impressed, which I'm kind of glad.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So they come in and she has her little scripts with Rory before Lorelai shows up. And I made a note of this. Like, I love how involved and how interested in Rory's life Emily feels. She's like, oh, you work at the inn, you do this. And, like, she feels very invested. Like, she wants to know what Rory does outside of Chilton and outside of Freddie.
Okay, yeah. So I
love that little...
I think that little this episode is the episode where Rory and Emily become family. Like, they were already family beforehand, right?
This is Rory and Emily's golf episode.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it really is.
This is the one where they connect and where they know they will never be out of each other's lives again. This is this episode.
There's a moment from when they're at the antique store that I really loved, where... Rory points out something that's pretty and she says, do you think it's special? Mm-hmm. And Emily says, do you like it? Rory says, yes. And she's like, then it's something special.
It's special. Yeah.
I was like, that's
a grandma.
That is so sweet.
Right? It's such a sweet thing. And it's very grandma. Mm-hmm. It's very grandma. And it's not what we would expect to come out of Emily.
Yeah.
But Rory brings out that side of her.
It's wholesome, to be honest.
It is.
And she goes to Teriyaki Joe's, which...
Brave woman.
Right? Like, that was my first thought, too.
I mean, the whole name Teriyaki Joe sounds very questionable.
Yeah.
It's like eating shrimp from Al's Pancake World.
My favorite teriyaki place has kind of a weird name, too, but it's delicious. And I go because I know that it's delicious.
Yes.
I wouldn't just walk into a place called Teriyaki Joe's.
I mean, Rory would know if it was good or not. So that's true. It could have been like a Teriyaki Joe's, what's this? And I'm like, it's really good. Okay, so let's go.
Yeah.
I really loved when they walked in and Rory's like, hey, Michelle, where's Laura? And he goes, with her boyfriend. And Rory's like, what boyfriend? Small, dark, and wanted in 4 states.
Yep.
That's such a great line.
I mean, he's probably not wrong.
Yeah. Rune is the worst. But we have another Emily kind of like meet cute.
Yeah.
Emily and Michelle, a match made in heaven. These two.
Right?
So does anyone know what they said?
No, I wanted to look it up.
Because
I kind of know
what they said, just like listening, right? Without translating. Does she say that she goes to France all the time? Is that what she says?
I think she says that she goes to France in the spring.
Okay, didn't I not just acknowledge earlier this season that they only go every 2 years? In the fall?
Yes.
I think Printemps is spring. And she... Yeah, I think she says spring. I'll have to double check.
I know bonjour and je m'appelle Sandra.
I took French. I'm the expert. Okay, I slowed it down so I can read it better. Okay, she says, Emily, Michelle, enchantez-vous, where are you from? Oh, Paris. I love Paris. I think we are going in the spring, or we go in the spring. Yes, spring in Paris. It's a cliche, but it's true. That's what they say.
Okay. Well, regardless, she says she's going to go in spring.
We saw one really good translator, and y'all heard one really bad translator in this episode. Somebody who actually speaks French is going to be like, Jess is crazy.
In my head, the Gilmores decide every day whether or not they're going to go to Europe that same day. And most days they say no, and some days they say yes.
That's what money does.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I could do that. I think today I'll go to Italy. Let's go see. Wow.
Sometimes I think I'll go to McDonald's and I make it happen.
So the tour continues, and Rory shows Emily the grounds, and they go past this like really pretty lake.
That's a beautiful
view. It's really pretty. And then they go to the tool shed, which is
a potting shed.
Really a tool shed. Yeah, it's a potting shed. She's so excited.
She really is.
Yeah. I'm confused as to why a potting shed has a bathtub.
Oh, they definitely put it in.
To begin with.
I mean, it would make sense for it to have some plumbing, right? So there could be like a sink so that you could fill up watering cans. So if it's already plumbed, I mean, obviously the plumbing for a bathtub is different than the plumbing for a sink, but like a utility sink, you probably have a pretty big pipe going to that. So
all I can imagine is that Mia made it happen.
Yeah, was this potting shed like this when Lorelai showed up? Or did Lorelai show up and Mia's like, I will do a quick cheap reno on this potting shed to make it livable for you?
I can see Mia totally doing that. Yeah, I can see that happening.
And I can see I can see the wallpaper being bought from Williams Hardware. Like, I could back before. Yeah. And because it probably didn't have that wallpaper to begin with as a tool shed.
I can see Lorelai buying that just to make it more homey.
Yeah. Rory is really excited about this. Rory looks back on this very fondly, which I think really speaks to how good of a mom Lorelai was.
Yeah.
Because it could have been a situation where they felt very impoverished, where they felt like they were struggling. But Rory looks back on this and she loves to tell the story of the curtain around the bathtub and the sweet little roses on the walls.
Supposedly, Rory would have lived there until she was 10 then, if they've only had the house for 5 or 6 years.
Maybe they rented, though, because I can't imagine them living in the potting shed.
Yeah, until... That's a big change. Like, 10 years old is kind of old, I would feel like.
Oh, yeah. Say it's where they lived when she was a baby. So I have to assume that,
but she remembers,
you know, once Lorelai had... Yeah. Yeah, but I have to assume that Lorelai would have gotten them out of there as soon as she had, like, financial means to do so. Yeah.
It's really interesting, though, because they never mention in the in-between. Like, it's always the potting shed or where they're at now. And with how sentimental they are about places they have lived in the past, it seems... I don't feel like there could be a middle place, because it's literally never mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I could see an apartment.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it both ways. I feel like if there had been an apartment or something in the middle, it would have been mentioned. But at the same time, it's also incredibly hard for a grown woman and a 10-year-old to live in.
In a one-room. Yeah.
Like, literally one
without
room.
Even a... The without bathroom even, is like, in a it. True bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yikes.
And also, like, Lorelai bought the house that they live in now. And she was a maid. She was a teenager. She was a maid. It's, like, the savings process for buying a house, too. Maybe it would make sense if they lived in the potting shed, because she could be saving all of her income to go towards a house. But then, yeah, also, I feel like... this is a weird plot hole that I've never thought about before. This is strange.
Because, like, as someone who lived in a house and then downgraded to an apartment, right, like a very small apartment, it's a big change, right? And now I'm in a bigger apartment, but like that change of like losing space is the same thing of gaining space. So like Rory now having this huge house in to her standard, would be huge because this potting shed is one room.
Her own actual bedroom?
She doesn't seem that way. Like, you know what I mean? She doesn't seem like, oh my god, I have my own bathroom. Right?
Mm-hmm.
She seems like, oh, this, I have my own bathroom. Like, this is how I live. So, like, it kind of seems like she would be, I would say, max 7 when they moved out. That would be my take.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The way that they, the way that they say, this is where we lived when I was a baby, really makes me think there must be some kind of in-between place that they just never talk about. Because, like, the logistics of living in a one room with no real bathroom for that long.
No real privacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the in-between was so bad.
Maybe, I mean, there's some nasty apartments out there.
Maybe they lived in the end.
Yeah, maybe.
Like in the actual room.
I feel like if living in the inn was an option, that would have been the case from the beginning. Like, why even go into the potting shed?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe they lived in the apartment over Luke Steiner. Guys,
architecture is our kryptonite.
I would assume that Lorelai probably wanted to get them into a place outside of the potting shed by the time that Rory started school.
Yeah.
I could see that being, like, that a goal, sense. You know? Like, so I just want to have something solid for her by that point.
You still consider a 5-year-old a baby. Look at the baby.
I mean, yeah, kind of. They're still so little.
Yeah. So, Emily's reaction to, like, Rory is still so excited, and look at this, and this is where we did this, and this is where we did that, and Emily is just blank.
Yeah.
Emily looks like she got shot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she is shocked by this, and her immediate reaction is terror.
Well, can you imagine?
I feel so bad for her at this point.
Like, finding out that your teenage kid lived in a room with a prison cell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than in the big, beautiful house that you had for them.
With the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I feel for Emily in this episode. I feel like I don't want to say she hides it very well, but Rory's a little oblivious as to what's going on.
Rory doesn't get it. This is a little too big for her right now.
Yeah, I agree. It is.
Yeah.
And she explains it, like, you know. I thought she could see how pretty it was in the lake and the swans. It's, oh, honey, sweet baby child.
It looks romantic to a kid's eyes, but to an adult, you realize, yikes, that was a tough situation.
Yeah. And I agree. I feel for Emily in this episode. I don't think that she handles it well when she eventually gets her chance to talk to Lorelai, as we are kind of used to her doing. But the moment when Rory's like, are you sick? Was it the teriyaki? I'm like, don't do Joe dirty like that. Come on. He makes a good teriyaki.
Why is every food man besides Luke named Joe?
I was saying, is this the same Joe as the pizza guy Joe?
Do they get the pizza at Teriyaki Joe's?
I hope so.
Yeah, do we know of a pizza place?
I don't think the pizza place has ever been named. Yeah. I only remember one other time when they get pizza, and it's with Jess and Rory, so we're going to have to pay attention.
No, there is a very legitimate pizza place at Lorelai's birthday when they do the
giant pizza. Oh, yeah, the giant pizza.
And I think Joe does work there. Or at least the guy who plays Joe.
Every man but Luke is named Joe. Confirmed. Stars Hollow has a bunch of Joes. Oh, and now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start naming male characters in the show.
So, Rune, whatever. Rune comes, he's creepy. We finally get to see inside of Luke's apartment. Yes, so I'm going to start out with background stuff, just so that we don't talk about the scene with that. First off, it's called William's Hardware, and I never really connected this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have an apostrophe. It's not Williams Hardware. It's Williams. So it almost seems like a last name. But Luke's last name is Dings.
Dings.
Mm-hmm.
But, so is his father named Williams?
Luke was adopted.
Maybe his father's just named Williams with an S.
I'm going to go with his father doesn't understand grammar.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to think about how old that would man, or like where that man would have fallen in history, like to be Luke's father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grammar not as great back then.
Okay. Well, okay. So here's the first observation. Luke loves his pictures. And I don't know if this is Rachel inspired, but there are so many pictures in this guy's apartment, and they're all of fish. All of them.
Huh.
Except for one that's a diagram of a pig and, like, the parts of a pig.
Okay, so that's on the wall in the kitchen.
Yes, he also
got a fish above his bed. Yep. Another fish above his bed.
There's also old-timey pictures. There's old-timey pictures in black and white. There's a picture of this, like, old white man with, like, a big white beard that kind of looks like Karl Marx, but I don't know if it actually is.
He's not a communist. I don't know. At this period in time, it could be.
It could be.
I am convinced this is how Luke's dad decorated this area, and none of this is Luke's. I mean, he does love fish.
He has two sets of bongo drums on his shelves. On his bed, he has his drawers behind him, so if he wanted to open a drawer, he would have to move his pillows. Speaking of his pillows...
But let's also mention...
He has a bed rest pillow, which is super cute, and I think is Rachel's. But yes, continue.
He also has, like, a queen or a full-size bed. It is not a twin.
It's not a twin.
And in the future, Lorelai specifically mentioned... So Luke at some point goes out and buys a twin bed to replace his full bed.
I think by the time Jess comes, it's a twin bed.
Yes. It is. Because I remember, Lorelai, like, giving him crap for living.
What he does have is a pillow with fishes on it. This man is dedicated to the fish.
He loves fish.
Yes.
He does love fishing.
Those are the background things. Those are the things found. Also, here's my question for you. Are those curtains frilly?
No, I mean, they're floral.
Yeah,
right?
But, like, frilly to me is lacy.
Luke's mom could have easily put those up when this was still his dad's apartment or his dad's office.
Yeah.
Also, you don't have to be ashamed of having curtains up because you're a man. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Basic household need. Ugh.
Flowery curtains are not manly for the hardware.
Hey, flowers say a lot of things.
It would be one thing for, like, the girls to, like, kind of make fun of it, you know, on their own. But when Lorelai says something to him, he immediately lies about it. Like,
yeah.
That just, it's weird.
Maybe Anna picked those ones out.
Oh, Anna.
No.
I wish you didn't exist.
We're not going to talk about Anna yet. We don't have to.
I do want to ask, there is a picture on top of the safe in the apartment, and I, for the life of me, cannot figure out what this
picture
is.
A lot of them I could not figure it out. Like, I saw mostly fish, but there were a lot of old-timey, weird ones.
I think this one is... It's colored.
It looks like maybe two fish hugging each other while standing up outside of the water.
As you do. My favorite type of photo.
Two fish hugging each other standing up outside of the water.
I want to know what is this picture.
Also my favorite sex act, you know.
Okay, back to the plot.
Baseball! I think it's baseball.
Oh, that would make sense. There was a mitt.
I don't see baseball.
There was a
it's
mitt.
It's two guys
somewhere.
In baseball uniforms.
One of them doesn't have a head.
Well, it's not cropped very well.
Is it possible?
No, there's just an empty space where his head would be.
He blends in with the background. Or it's still two fish.
Listeners. We're going to post this picture up on Instagram. We'll figure out. You guys tell us what it is.
We've all had a long week.
We need some stress relief, and apparently it's from this picture alone.
Well, anyway, big point of this scene, beyond photographs and frilly, I use air quotes, curtains, is Rachel essentially says, Lorelai, I need you to talk my boyfriend into staying with me.
My boyfriend?
Like, well, it's a really wild thing to request, and she does it very openly. And again, I want to say, no Rachel hate here. I think Rachel is a great person. I like her as a character. Mm-hmm. She's acted well. She's gorgeous. It's just a weird situation.
I'm gonna throw out a controversial thought again. This was a manipulative scene. She starts out saying how it's not gonna work because Luke doesn't trust her, and mm-hmm. how she doesn't even know if she's gonna say goodbye to Luke, right? So Lorelai now mm-hmm. has that pressure mm-hmm. of, if I don't say something here,
she's gonna leave.
Yeah.
That's a choice, you know, like, for her to make, because Lorelai could have chose differently here.
Yeah. I'm curious as to if it was an intentional manipulation. I don't think so.
Like I said, I like Rachel a lot. I don't think she's an evil character.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, whatever. Like, Emily would, this would be a manipulative tactic for Emily, but I don't think this was a tactic.
100%.
It just came off that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Miss Patty really out to get Rachel?
No, Miss Patty is out to create gossip.
Yeah.
She finds gossip and she like lives for it, but she's not out to get people.
No.
No, this is the exact same conversation when Luke and Lorelai first get together and Lorelai goes downstairs in just the shirt. Well, you know, maybe nobody noticed, maybe nobody will say anything. Babette, Miss Patty? No. Like, Lorelai's exact words. Babette, Miss Patty?
Yeah.
Like, they like their gossip. The town,
and they have to one-up Eastside Tilly.
we don't even know about her yet, right?
No.
She doesn't exist yet. We know she's there.
I think she's mentioned in, like, 2 or 3 episodes. We never even see her.
So Luke comes upstairs with his bag of money, and as a former movie theater employee that had to carry those bags of money upstairs to the safe, it, like, the triggered memories. Yeah. I was like, oh, I remember doing that. Lorelai is in his space. And, like...
Mm-hmm.
And he is not.
No, he's really not.
And she kind of teases him about it, which I think... So I think there's, like, a discussion that could be had, I don't think we have time for it, of, like, is Rachel really in a place where she can invite people into Luke's space? Yeah. Like, I know that they're together, but they're kind of obviously shaky. And then Lorelai really pushes him about him being uncomfortable, which is kind of a Lorelai-ism, right? To, like, push people to get
especially
the answers out of them. But yeah, and he's honest with her that, like, I don't really like it. Like, yeah.
And that's fair. I don't know.
I think in Rachel's mind, yes, she is at the point where she could invite anybody she wants because she lives here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's ready to get serious. And I'm not trying to make fun of Rachel by any means. That was not the
story. Yeah, no, was you're fine.
Intending to go for. But she does think, Rachel just feels like this relationship is a lot farther along than it feels like it should be,
mm-hmm.
even with the history. So it makes sense that she would invite Lorelai up. It also totally makes sense that Luke would come in and be like, why are you here? What is going on?
I love that Luke lives in his dad's office. I mean, it's so, like, niche. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's a fun little bit of character that he's this guy who's, like, not really sentimental or overly emotional, but at the same time, he hasn't changed anything from his father.
Yeah.
Like,
you can still see the rain sprays in the background, like, he still has background stuff. So, yeah, Luke and Lorelai kind of have a tension going on. It's not necessarily a good tension, but it's not a bad one either. It's just kind of an awkward one.
It's an awkward tension.
Well, also,
yeah.
How awkward for Lorelai to have just had the conversation she had with Rachel, and then to have Luke and have it be like, oh gosh, do
I know something real personable about you? That's weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to deal with that later.
We go over to the teenagers.
Girl time.
Yeah.
Well, it's more like study time because these girls are always studying.
And Lane
so studious.
Looks so cute going from waitress to, like, actual kid is such a good vibe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it again in fashion, but, like, I love Rory's French braid.
Yeah. Ugh,
I love a good French braid. It just changes her whole demeanor. It changes. Mm-hmm. She's got such a great face.
But, yeah, so they're girl talk. Henry.
She gets a phone call from Henry.
She gets a message.
Yes. Gosh. Remember when voicemails weren't just, like, spam in other languages? Because that's what my voicemails all are now.
My voicemails are always like, give us your social. Maybe, like, no.
And my voicemails are, your student loan is eligible to be refinanced.
But we essentially go into a little bit more detail of Lane being like, he's the perfect boy. And I can't deal with it. Yeah. Which is fair. Like, that's the way that my brain works. Like, I spin. I spiral.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I get
yeah.
one little thought, and then all of a sudden I'm, like, 4 years in the future, and look at what I did. It's like, no, I haven't even done it yet.
And when I was a teenager, it felt like every time someone didn't immediately call you back or immediately text you, is probably, was it then, IM you back, I guess, it would be like, they hate you. Oh, he suddenly hates me.
Yeah. Well, there is something that was just soul-crushing about that big white MSN messenger with just one line. Mm-hmm. Like, you say, hey, and then it's just this big glowing white space that's waiting to be filled, and there's nothing. It was bad.
It's almost as soul-crushing as the K that you can do now. Yep.
Yeah, K. Poor Lane, though. I feel for her in this time. It's just when you're a teenager and you're just overanalyzing everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first four times she listens to the message,
she likes it. Yeah,
it's fun. It's Henry. Yeah. It's hey, and then she starts parsing it.
Great word, by the way.
Hey, Lane.
Yeah,
I was into it.
Hey, Lane. That's what you say to your bowling partner.
Are you going bowling?
No. Just moves on. Doesn't even acknowledge that comment.
Yeah. Well, and girl time is broken up by a phone call.
Calling, yeah. And I so loved it when Lane just curls up next to Rory. Like, they just curl up and, like, to listen or overhear whatever she's doing. It's so wholesome. I really loved it.
And Emily has some things she wants to know.
Yes.
She wants to know, what is your favorite color? Mm-hmm. She wants to know, what are your favorite flowers? And she wants to know a very important question about musical groups.
So, I actually posed this question on Instagram as well, and the question obviously is, who is your favorite, or who is the best, or who would you choose out of NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, or 98 Degrees?
Well, and the best thing about it is that Emily originally poses it as NSYNC or 98 Degrees, and then she gives option number three, which is
the Backside Boys.
Love me the backside.
They all have great backsides.
Oh man. So I wanna, before we look at the results of the poll, I wanted to ask you guys, 98 Degrees, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, or what kind of sick joke is this? Which is what Lane says.
Well, I think I've already gotten some flack on the pod for liking / knowing of 98 Degrees, but they definitely weren't my favorite. I was an NSYNC girl.
How about you, Emily?
Hard stance, Backstreet Boys.
Ooh.
Backside Boys.
We have some
competition. I specifically remember in fourth grade when NSYNC was first getting famous. It was in like Bye Bye Bye. It just came out. Or,
yeah.
And I was talking to my friend and she's like, do you like them? I was like, no, they're just posers. They're totally copying the Backstreet Boys. And I will take that thought to my grave. I hold it then. I hold it now.
I respect our differences. What about you, Sandra?
Guys, I didn't like boy bands. I was not into them. I really,
says the girl who saw the Joe Bros.
Really liked the Spice Girls for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. I was all about the Spice Girls. First concert.
There was this other band called Play. I don't know if either of you
remember. Yes. Oh, my God. I was a huge Play fan.
And then, yeah, I was the Jonas Brothers band. But whatever. When it was them. But if I had to choose, I would also go with Rory and pick NSYNC. I would pick Justin.
But the way that Emily poses these, We don't know what it's being used for. She's just getting to know Rory some more.
But real quick, I want to give the results of the poll. So listeners, I posed the question to the listeners, and most of them agreed, what kind of sick joke is this? Which would have been technically my answer. But the winner is actually the Backstreet Boys. With NSYNC coming in second, closely. And then 98 Degrees just down in dumps, unfortunately.
Shout out to the few 98 Degrees people, because, I mean, they were pretty good. They had a good sound.
I don't remember anything about them other than Nick Lachey. Honestly, that's all I remember.
He's very talented. Not a great person. Very talented.
I'm throwing some Nick Lachey shade here. I do not think... Actually, I don't know. I haven't listened. He could be very talented. I have no.
He's got a good voice. Yeah.
Is he an actor?
He was in an episode of One Tree Hill, and that kind of weirded me out. Back when I saw it.
I think he hosts stuff.
I have no idea. Yeah. Anyway,
I did read Jessica's memoir. So.
Simpson. Right. Yeah. They were married. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I remember now.
Yeah.
So
I want to say about Emily's questions, though. I wish she would have left them more open-ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she asked the flower, what do you prefer, lilies or sunflowers? What band do you prefer? These lists. And so I'm like, why don't you just say, hey, what's your favorite flower? And then let Rory answer
the
question. Hey, what's your favorite
with the flower band? One, it was roses or lily. And Rory said sunglasses. Sunglasses. She said sunflowers.
Sunglasses flower.
Sunglasses are my favorite flower.
But yeah. I think Emily would have been, obviously Rory's not afraid to give her the real answer with the flower question, but I feel like Rory, or Emily would have gotten more information if she would have just truly left it open-ended. Hey, what's your favorite band? What's your favorite flower? What's your favorite color? You know.
Next episode we get a PJ Harvey reference. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Is the next it might be the episode afterwards, but like even that, like getting a poster of her or something, but... Instead, she gets Nick Lachey shirtless.
And I'm pretty sure there's a poster of Justin in that.
There's a poster for each of them.
Yeah, yeah. She picked all of them.
Yeah. 98 Degrees is above the bed.
Yes, it is.
Justin was to the right.
But we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten there yet. First, we have a couple of very awkward scenes where Lorelai feels very out of place behind the counter of Luke's diner.
Yeah.
And then in presumably the back storeroom where Luke is unloading an obscene amount of pickles.
So many pickles.
And like,
I have a question. Does Lorelai make a Lion King reference?
Right.
When she's standing
That's what
the
I put
counter?
Too.
All of this is yours that the eye can see.
And my favorite part is that he says, I'm thinking of conquering the flower shop next door. And then he does.
Yes.
In
the future.
But
yeah, Jess, you're totally right. This is an absolutely insane amount of pickles in these boxes.
There's so many tomato sauce cans. It's ridiculous.
And like, I understand that he is a busy diner owner. And like, let's give it the benefit of the doubt and say that every time somebody orders a sandwich, they get either a full pickle or a pickle spear. Like, that wouldn't be weird.
A pickle spear would totally make sense.
You know, that's a lot of pickles. But the reason that I pointed it out is just because Luke starts on one side of the room unpacking pickles. And then...
Runs out of space.
He runs out of space, moves to the other side of the room, and starts unpacking more pickles.
Maybe they fry pickles or something.
This is a terrible organizational system. Yeah, maybe dill versus sweet, but...
I don't know. There were a lot of pickles.
Do not let Suki back there.
No.
And don't worry, guys. Tomatoes is still spelt wrong on the blackboard. There are also two other blackboards that have now appeared. One is a pie or dessert special.
Good.
And assorted cakes.
Lemon meringue. Who was making this lemon meringue pie?
Well, we know. It's probably the bakery.
Yeah. I couldn't read what the other blackboard was, but I just thought it was really funny that he has them everywhere. He likes this organization. That's cute.
Yeah.
Except in the storage office, apparently.
But this is just an uncomfortable scene because
so many pickles.
Lorelai's been put in this place where she feels like she needs to,
yeah,
you know, jump into this relationship and, like, tell him to stay with Rachel, which is just weird.
And there is a moment, a very poignant moment, where she's like, unless you have something else happening, and he just straight up looks at her and goes, like, no.
Is she trying to get him to admit to feelings for her?
That's how it feels.
Like, I really don't know.
And the way he said no was also like, no, you're right, there's nothing else. Not even like, no, I'm hurting your feelings, or no, I don't have feelings. No, you're right. You're right. I should just get with Rachel.
It's very off for me, because I feel like when we left it off, it felt like Lorelai might have these feelings for Luke, but she's not prepared for them. She's not ready for them yet. She's not ready to acknowledge them. Whereas in this conversation, it feels like she is.
Which is funny, because you guys remember, she's back together with Max right now.
With Max.
Yeah. Okay. That would like inform why she feels like she can have this conversation with Luke, and she can push him, because she's not trying to
get with him.
She's not technically trying to get with him.
I don't know. I feel like she's still alluding to, unless there's another reason, hit me.
Yeah.
Is kind of what she's trying to do there.
Yeah.
While she's with Max.
Also, she looked really pretty in that scene.
It just felt off. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, it's awkward. There's tension. Luke is like, why are you on her side? Why are you taking her side? Lorelai's like, I'm not taking sides. But she kind of is taking sides. Oh, yeah. And she's siding with the stranger.
That she just met.
Honestly, at this point, Rachel is still a stranger.
Like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
But Lorelai feels some camaraderie with her, since they're, you know,
the same person.
Yeah.
So the next scene, we are at the Black, White, and Red Theater. And they're watching Queen of Outer Space with Zsa Zsa Gabor. And
I think we're finally getting Kirk
is...
Right? I know. I was like, this is some Kirk-ass Kirk.
this might... I can't decide if this is my first or my second favorite scene. Because Emily and Mrs. Kim, obviously, but like, the scene and that one are like right there together.
It's so funny. He plays... He's a really good comedian. Like, he does it really well.
Yes.
I think there's still a little bit of Kirk that is not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at his facial expressions, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound rude, but it's just, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's still a little bit too with it. He's a little bit too...
I get what you mean.
Right? You know, there's like a level of Kirk that is just like
in the
things
clouds.
Going over his head. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like in the future, we don't really ever see Kirk like... truly annoyed
or confrontational
or about
except for the time he won the trophy and like he can't let that go, but that's a very specific moment.
Yeah
it is. This is just like he's sitting behind them and he just looks thoroughly annoyed that they are talking, and that part does not feel like her.
But the phone,
the annoyance,
the phone ring and the running, that is Kirk.
Not
that
even
is
being
what we're
able
here
to pick
for
it up. Like, he's just putting it to his freaking face and not even
pressing
it.
He can't figure out how to answer.
So good. I loved it.
Dang it!
But yeah, Rory and Lorelai are there, and Luke and Rachel walk in, and they're very romantic.
All lovey.
Yeah, it's PDA heavy.
Which feels off for Luke.
Yes. Can I just point out, in this theater, Luke got the worst chair. The worst.
Literally,
like, he has
front
his
row.
Arm up around Rachel.
Yeah.
On, and she's got like a tall back chair, so his arm is like up on that. His chair doesn't even hit his lower middle back. His chair is so low. Can you imagine sitting in that for an entire movie?
And so he's like a tall,
in
big man.
Front row.
Miserable. Yeah.
3 feet away from the screen.
I'm surprised he's not blocking the projector.
Well, maybe the projector's on the ceiling.
Maybe.
But he is blocking the people at the
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's tall.
Because he is a tall man.
The little head nod. It kind of felt like goodbye. Like, this is done now.
I don't know if it felt so much to me like a goodbye versus like an, okay, I'm in. Like, on
nice
him and Rachel.
But is he
there.
All in?
Yeah, exactly.
He's all in.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
No.
I didn't say all. I said it.
Let's get away from this.
Well, we can run right out the door and into the Gilmore Senior home.
Where the coat rack is nowhere to be found. Coat rack
has been disappeared. That coat rack is atrocious.
Now we're back to, like,
we know where it is. It's in the basement storage.
But yeah, we go to Friday night dinner. And Emily's really excited.
Do either of you want that bedroom?
Well, the bed, maybe.
It's not my taste.
I would.
That's probably a very comfortable bed.
That's probably an expensive bed. Like, now as an adult, you don't realize how expensive beds are until you have to buy one, and it's like $1,000, and you're like, oh, Christ. That's probably a really good bed.
Yeah.
But everything else, the sunflowers were pretty.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice idea. Yeah. I think that if your grandparents had a house big enough for you to have your own room, I don't think that's a crazy idea.
No, and
especially if you spend time with them.
It's so sweet. Because now Rory knows she has another place to go. She belongs to somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's important.
The intention behind it, I think, was good, mm-hmm. right? And I think that it came from
some of the intentions behind
yes.
it.
Well, I mean,
the intentions towards Rory. Seeing...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd say 90% of the intentions are good.
Yeah.
10% directed towards Lorelai, revengeful.
Yeah.
Petty.
Because they have a fight right there in this beautiful room full of sunflowers and boy bands.
And creepy nutcracker-ish elf boys. I put the picture up in Discord. I'm gonna put this up on Instagram. It's so creepy. Like, who wants that?
We'll put the elf boy and the hugging fish in one post so that you can enjoy both of them at your leisure.
Just be like, what are these?
But like, there's a moment where Lorelai kind of says, you know, I'm being silly. Mm-hmm. I'm not appreciating this. I'm sorry. This is a really nice gesture.
I think that and that's really when Emily big of is
Lorelai. I'm ready to fight. Emily just goes for it.
She's like, let me take these gloves off.
Yeah.
This Lorelai felt very much like the Lorelai at the beginning of this episode, and we didn't really talk about it. But when Rory invites Emily to come to Stars Hollow, Lorelai is straight up like, I'm busy. I can't be there. And then the conversation continues to where, well, you don't have to be there. And then Lorelai is like, fishing, like, wait, why don't I need to be there? Why can't I be invited? Or it was just felt very confusing. And now we're here again at the end of, wait, why are you giving my daughter this bedroom? Like, she has a bedroom. She doesn't need a bedroom.
Well, it's like the golf episode again with Richard.
Yeah.
She wants to be that protective barrier between her and her parents. And she's not realizing that she doesn't have to be that barrier. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't, she's not needed either.
This time she steps down.
Yeah.
She's like, you're right. This is a good thing. I'm being silly. And then Emily takes her gloves off and throws a punch.
Yeah. Her comment about the walls around the bathtub, it just so pointed and like, and I know that it comes from a place of pain, right?
Yeah,
like Emily
hurt.
Was very hurt by it, but come on. I need these women to step up and be this smart, you know, interesting women that they admit that they are a couple episodes ago.
Well, they go into this conversation, like going into the next scene, Rory and Lorelai have about, do you think this will ever change? How can you guys talk about it? And it felt so relatable, you know, because I've had issues with my own parents, but like just that you want to change things, but sometimes you just can't. And that's the realistic thing that happens. Is that sometimes fights just don't end, or fights just don't get resolved, and that's life. Mm-hmm. So I get it.
I appreciate Lorelai in that conversation, though, because she doesn't necessarily toss blame anywhere.
No.
She just kind of says, like, we can't communicate well, I say one thing, I think I'm clear, she hears something different, and I like that there's no blame assigned. It's not my mom's manipulative and doesn't listen. It was just like, we're different people and don't communicate well. And that's kind of the crux of the whole relationship. It's just that.
I think that this conversation also between Lorelai and Rory is like a really great example of them having something that is beyond a mother-daughter bond. Because it truly sounds like a conversation between friends.
Yeah.
You know, Lorelai is very, very open, very blunt, It doesn't feel like the thing that your mom would usually say to you. Mm-hmm. But I just like it. It makes them them.
I will say about the Lorelai-Emily fight, though, while Emily's attacks are very pointed, and like you said, Jess, they do come from a place of pain, I do feel like what she said did need to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of similar to a couple episodes with Christina's parents, when Richard goes on his rant to Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
That just adds a lot of pent-up anger, a lot of pent-up emotions. Like, you just need to get it out. And Emily, I feel like, obviously we don't know and we'll never know the full story of what happened when Lorelai was there, but Emily's hurt.
Yeah.
To know that your daughter would rather live like a hobo than under your own roof. I mean, that has to hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what she did to cause
it. Emily and Richard are definitely picky. They're definitely manipulative, mm-hmm. and they're definitely strict. But they didn't seem abusive or uncaring. It didn't seem like they didn't love Lorelai. It's just, they were very particular people, and Lorelai was not that person.
Yeah.
And Lorelai explains that it wasn't about, you know, like, any of that. It was, I needed to be somewhere that was not there. Here. Mm-hmm. And, like,
I liked Lorelai's response here. It was just very calm. It was very mature.
She was trying not to fight.
I know you're hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. And I watch everything with captions, but when Emily leaves, the captions say, like, voice breaking, excuse me. And I mean, that is an extremely emotional moment for Emily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's probably reliving those emotions when Lorelai was like, I'm out. I can't be here.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
That's real harsh.
And then they go have dinner.
Yeah, right?
We assume.
And Rachel gets a drawer. Good for Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
She has a drawer now. She has, like, 1/100th of Luke's apartment.
Yep. Does anybody else feel like the, if I throw an ice cream, can you get me half the closet comment? Like, I know it was a joke, but I feel like it was a joke that wasn't a joke.
Yeah. It feels like those boundaries are, like, being pushed.
Yeah.
Like, Lorelai should not be the person who is making progress in your relationship with Luke.
Right. And Rachel knows that.
Boundaries can be pushed to, like, push relationships to the next level, but, like, they should be done between those two people.
Yeah.
Not, hey, will you come here and... It feels very high school.
Yeah.
Hey, will you come talk to my boyfriend for me?
Yeah.
Guys, the coffee tastes different.
It does. It's nutmeg.
Well, we end the episode with Lorelai
on a high note.
Yeah. And Suki at the Dragonfly Inn. This decrepit ish.
The Dragonfly looks a little smaller.
Oh my gosh, it looks like a house.
The top floor looks like it's narrower.
It's so small.
Okay, this is the Walton's house. If you guys ever watch that.
Oh, is it?
Good night, John Boy. Good night. Yeah.
It's so little.
This is the same house.
I didn't know that.
But I feel like the Dragonfly, the top floor, took up, like, most of the width of the bottom floor. And it looks like this one is, like, a whole chunk out.
Architecture is coming back, guys.
Yeah, I know.
I know. But I did make a comment when I was watching that, like, you know, we're looking at this and the girls are sitting back from it. So Suki is messing around on the porch while Lorelai
so
and Rory are sitting
her.
On a blanket. I know.
I am too, Suki. Why are you going into this house?
We're looking at this house, and I just thought, this looks smaller than the Gilmore's. Like, the Gilmore Girls' house. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it's an inn. But I love this scene. I love what this scene is. I love, like, it's the beginning of something that turns into, like, a multi-season project that these women are fighting so hard to achieve. Also, just great to see Melissa getting to, like, be sweet and adorable and wonderful.
Like, you can tell she's super excited.
Outside of trying to force Rune onto somebody.
But, like, you can tell she's super excited, even in her criticisms. She's like, but I can fix that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we can make a bigger kitchen and all this stuff. Like, it's so exciting. But, yeah, I love this scene. It's such an iconic view, I think. Of just having the girls on the blanket, Suki going around And like you said, Jess, it doesn't get realized until season four, but we see that entire, mm-hmm. like, journey. And it's so satisfying at the end.
Yeah.
Besides a couple things that happen at the end of season four. But, you know, talking about the end, we're talking about the end.
Yeah.
It's great. I really love it. But yeah, that's the episode.
Yay. So we end on a high note, mm-hmm. at least.
Which is nice. Most of these
yes.
big end of season episodes kind of have a mixed emotions.
When yeah, you this was off. Just a happy episode. I mean, yeah, there was a little bit of drama mm-hmm. in between, but like, no, nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. Guys, townsperson of the week. I'm very conflicted. Not because no one, like everyone sucked or anything, but because there were actually a couple people that were really good, and I don't know who to give it to. What about you guys?
I feel like Emily almost, in how much she loved Stars Hollow, it would make sense for mm-hmm. us to be like, the Stars Hollow honorary town person of the week is Emily. But then she goes and she like that loses fine. Us in the second half.
Yeah.
What about you, Emily?
This might be controversial. I might go with Rachel.
That's cool.
Because I feel like she's trying. And I know I said I think she's kind of jumping the gun here a little bit in like how quickly she's trying to push this relationship. But I think all of her motives are pure. I think she's really trying. And I really appreciate how much she sees Lorelai means to Luke. And instead of getting mean about it, or instead of being hurt by a relationship that she's not included in, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to be included in it. I'm going to become friends with this person who's very important to this person I care about. And I like that because I don't feel like you see a whole lot of people outside of the main cast do that.
Yeah.
So my two people, Lorelai, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's
close. Like, she gave Rune a job. Like, you know how hard it is to give Rune a job? And it was, and she lets him live in the potting shed that she loves so much. But also she, you know, she didn't have the best start in the beginning, like you said before, of like the little catty, petty, but I'm not working, like you can't come, right? Mm-hmm. But then later on, she does take it back. And she is like, you know, but then my second person is Rachel. Mostly because Rachel comes in and leaves within like four episodes. But her whole purpose was to basically show the dragonfly, right?
Yeah.
And she did her purpose. And we now have the dragonfly.
And to solidify that Lorelai is the perfect person for Luke, because Lorelai and Rachel are the same person.
Basically.
And as of now, this is the only other serious relationship that Luke has had that we know about.
Who do we think?
I think Rachel would be a fine one to give it to. This is a pretty solid Rachel episode, apart from, like, the slight manipulation. I think it's fair.
Yeah, I would give it to Rachel as well. Also, her curls are just, like, to die for.
It's so sad when you look at this gorgeous actress's filmography.
Her IMDb.
She never did anything else,
I told you she's in that really awful horror film about bugs.
That's
one of the biggest things she's done.
So talent person of the week is Rachel. Congratulations, Rachel. You're probably not going to win it again because you only have, like, two episodes left.
Is she an actual townsperson or is she an honorary townsperson? Because I think that she's technically, like, a townie, but she's left.
Jess, that is Schrodinger's cat right there. Is she a townie or not? She is both.
Yeah. She is both.
I'm going to go with a townie.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's an official townsperson of the week then.
I'm going to say, because as of now, she is living in Stars Hollow.
That is true.
Even if it is a short amount of time.
One drawer is enough property.
But up next, we have reference of the week.
We are going to talk about some gloomy, gloomy men. During the Lane and Rory girl talk, they talk about music that makes them feel gloomy, and Rory says she likes it, and they name a couple of artists, one of whom is Lou Reed. I had not heard of Lou Reed before, but for some reason that name stuck out to me. I have since listened to a couple Lou Reed songs. That is the gloomiest man on the planet. This man exudes a sadness that is infectious in a bad way. I would say only listen to Lou Reed if you're having a really great day.
A great day?
Yeah, only listen to Lou Reed if you're having a really great day, because if you're really sad, it's just going to make it worse.
Yeah, you're right.
And just a little bit of background on him. He is no longer with us, but he was an American musician, singer, songwriter, and poet. He was the guitarist, singer, and principal songwriter for the rock band The Velvet Underground, mm-hmm. and had a solo career that spanned 5 decades. So he's a pretty prolific artist, or was a pretty prolific artist in his time. One of his solo albums was actually produced by David Bowie, and you could definitely tell. Ooh. One of the songs I listened to was Perfect Day off of Transformer, which is that album. And it's definitely got a little Bowie flair if Bowie was, like, extremely, extremely sad. I cannot stress to you how sad this man is. So that is one of our gloomy, gloomy men.
How about you, Emily?
Okay, one of our other gloomy men, and I think this is the gloomy man that we end up in as a Charlie Parker gloomy. So Charlie Parker was an American jazz saxophonist. So he was alive from 1920 through 1955, and he was actually one of the leading figures of bebop. So a form of jazz characterized by fast tempos, virtuosic technique, and advanced harmonies. So basically just a new form of jazz mm-hmm. for that time. His nickname was Bird, or Yard Bird. Mm. He got that early in his career when he was on the road with Jay McShann, who I do not know who that is, but it's specifically mentioned him. But he has quite a few titles. He was Yard Bird Suite, Ornithology, Bird Gets the Worm, Bird of Paradise, so Bird is included in a lot of his.
Wow.
A lot of his music. Charlie Parker is apparently an icon for the hipster subculture, which I find, I would like to know why, somebody. And then also the Beat Generation, personifying the jazz musician as an uncompromising artist and an intellectual rather than just an entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
So the original non-sellout.
I was going to say, it sounds like something Ryan Gosling would have said in La La Land.
Oh, definitely.
All right, and Sandra?
Our last gloomy dude is Johnny Cash, which I feel like is a pretty well-known name. He also passed away in 2003, which seems like a long time ago, but is, you know, within the last 20 years. Wikipedia literally says, much of Cash's music contained themes of sorrow, moral tribulation, and redemption, especially in his later stages of career. He was literally known for sadness.
The original emo?
He was known for his deep, like, voice, but, and he was, typically, he wore all black. Actually, maybe he was the original emo, because he was known as the man in black. He was born in Arkansas, but he, like, rose to fame in Tennessee, as the country guys do. I recommend Hurt. It is a cover by Nine Inch Nails. Also a great song just by Nine Inch Nails, but the cover by Johnny Cash is one of the best songs I think I've ever listened to. Yes. It's insane. So I recommend that. I'm not really into, like, A Boy Named Sue or, like, I Walk the Line, but a lot of people love those songs. They're very famous country songs. Ring of Fire, all of those songs. But if you do listen to one song, listen to Hurt.
The first time I ever heard Hurt, I think, was Johnny Cash's version of it. And I don't think I can ever listen to Nine Inch Nails'.
Yeah, it's very different.
Version. Because Johnny Cash is just, that song is perfect.
It is very sad, though.
I love his voice. He does have a very deep, melodic voice. It's very much like, Disturbed has an also beautiful song as well, which his voice is a very, very unique voice. So basically, men with deep, deep singing voices appeal to me, is I think what it is.
Well, if you like distinctive deadpan voices, Lou Reed's the one for you.
Cash is one of the best-selling music artists of literally all time, and if you ever want to find out about his life, watch watch Walk the Line. Reese Witherspoon was in it. Joaquin Phoenix.
Phoenix does a fantastic job.
So yeah, those were our sorrowful boys.
gloomy guys.
Yep.
And speaking of gloomy guys, I think Emily has some gloomy books to talk about.
Reading books with Emily.
So books this week. Emily opens up the refrigerator in Lorelai and Rory's house and goes, "Oh my god, it's like the Grapes of Wrath in here." This is our only book mention. So The Grapes of Wrath is an American realist novel written by John Steinbeck. It was published in 1939. Sandra's shaking.
I hate this book. I'm sorry.
It's not.
Continue.
It's okay. This was published in 1939. The book won the National Book Award and a Pulitzer Prize for fiction. And it was cited prominently when John Steinbeck won a Nobel Prize in 1962. So it's set during the Great Depression and focuses on the Joads, a poor family of tenant farmers driven from their Oklahoma home by hardships caused by the 1930s dust storms. Due to their nearly hopeless situation, and in part because they are trapped in the Dust Bowl, the Joads set out for California along with 1,000 of other Okies, because apparently that's what you call people from Oklahoma. But they travel there seeking jobs, land, dignity, and a future. On their journey, they encounter hardship, prejudice, and police intimidation. However, when they get there, things become worse. And I'm going to leave the summary at that.
Just know that there's an entire chapter about a turtle, and it's walking across the road. And I've never hated a book so much in my life. But you know what? It won a Nobel Prize.
Because of this one chapter.
But you, so I maybe I'm just a bad judge of character of books. But as a teenager reading this book, it was just not for me.
So, I'm glad you mentioned that as a teenager. So, this book came out and caused a bit of a national uproar, like almost immediately. So, it was banned and burned in public and debated over public radio in 1939. Oh, wow. It's like the year it was released. It didn't like gain a following. It wasn't a slow build. It was immediately like people hated this book. You loved or you hated it. There doesn't seem to be in between. The people who hated it labeled it as communist propaganda, and Steinbeck was called a propagandist and a socialist by literally all sides.
Let it be clear, I do not hate it because of that. I hate it because it was boring.
Well, I bet that turtle was like a really important, powerful metaphor.
Yeah, sure.
It was. And it was very slow. So, in 1939, the book was banned in Kansas City, Missouri, and in Kern County, California. It was burned in like a whole public thing at the East St. Louis, Illinois Public Library. Wow. It was barred from the Buffalo, New York Public Library. All in 1939, wow. So still the year it was published. It was banned in Ireland in 1953.
Oh, wow.
In 1980, it was banned in Kanawha, Iowa,
okay,
at the high school. And in dozens of other high schools since then, up to 1993, people are continuously challenging this book being on the high school curriculum. Mostly because of the biggest complaints seem to be that it takes the Lord's name in vain.
Interesting.
And it has propaganda.
Interesting. Huh. You would think, well, you know what? I don't know. I went to a Catholic school and it wasn't even like a topic of debate. No one like brought it up during the school board or anything.
No, I think it's just parents who have nothing more to complain about.
Yeah.
Literally looking for problems.
Like, we read Harry Potter, too, I remember. Like, there was no, like, anything.
Ooh, that's pretty progressive. A lot of, I remember there was a lot of backlash against Harry Potter from religious people.
Yeah. I remember that. I never read Harry Potter for school, but, like, one of my teachers in fifth grade started a book club, and, like, that was the book club.
It's really interesting with these controversial/banned books. especially in America, where it's like freedom and freedom of speech, like we're promoting all of this,
if it agrees with what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's ban everything.
Yeah.
Cool. I wasn't expecting a ban book conversation.
Right? It's a very unique history. So that was The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. There is a torturous chapter with a turtle. And after books, we have Fashion with Jess.
Welcome to Jess's Fashion Corner.
Yet another episode that spans an entire week, so we got a lot of clothes and not a lot of time. Our first Friday night dinner, Emily is in kind of like a pistachio green little outfit. Lorelai is, you won't believe it, wearing blue, but she's got kind of a more casual look. She's got a lighter blue button-up shirt over a very, like, crystal kind of camisole, I'm guessing, underneath. And Rory actually has an interesting little outfit on. She has a blouse that has red and black kind of leaves, but it's got a cold shoulder.
Actually, I really like her dress. I just don't like the...
The red one?
Yeah, I just don't like the, like, the buttons. Like, I wish it was a scoop neck. But, yeah. Like, actually, I like the dress.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really fun divergence from what we usually see her in. And also, she's obviously got her cute little hair with a little red band that matches the rest of the outfit, which I think is all very fun. When we go to the diner, we see Rachel, and she is wearing a purple top, which is a V-neck, and it's like a very thick rib knit, so like very, very defined ribs on it. And what I referred to as light mom jeans, Rachel's jeans would be super in right now. She looked great.
Actually, when I was watching this, I really wanted to ask you guys, are you guys light jean people or dark jean people? Like, do you wear light
jeans? We really never see each other's legs, to be honest.
How do we feel about sweats?
I mean, sweats are viable.
I would say I'm usually a darker jean person, but I do like the lighter jean, like, baggier fit, kind of, like, throwback vibe.
I'm not into it. I mean, like, on other people, I think it looks good. Just on me, I'm like, I need dark. I'm an emo girl at heart, so.
I like my black and gray jeans, most of which are grungy and have holes. And then, or, like, if they don't have holes, like, the cuffs are frayed. I do have a pair of just, like, mid-wash American Eagle jeans that I wear to work.
But yeah, this is quite a look on Rachel.
I've loved the light stone wash for a long time, though.
And I mean, I don't, like, love the top on Rachel, but I do like the jeans. Rory's in a blue sweater, and Lorelai is, of course, in a leather jacket with a gray button-up print shirt that we don't get a better look at until she's at work. It looks like it just has some kind of, like, wording or lettering on it.
It says
but later,
London.
Without it. It does. It says London, and I think it says other... I think it says other locations as well. That's and it's, like, a newspaper print. It's kind of, you know, again, it's very 2000s.
It says Tokyo
it's
and stuff.
Weird. Yeah. It's just, like, a bunch of locations
I thought it
and
just said London.
Yeah.
I thought it was more of, like, a graffiti print.
It kind of looks
not, like,
graffiti-ish.
Full graffiti, but just kind of, like, a...
Yeah. Either way, it's a very print blouse, and she's wearing it. When we get our day out with Emily, the star of Emily in Wonderland, Emily shows up. Oh, actually, let me jump backwards because Emily already mentioned it. Okay, too many Emilys. Our Emily already mentioned Suki's blue crochet bandana, which is so cute. We've seen a couple of crochet bandanas so far this season. I think they're so fun. I think that they would totally make a cool comeback with the cottagecore thing that's going on right now. Anyway, Emily shows up in a gray and blue with like a subtle plaid blazer skirt set. And I think she looks so pretty. I think it's a great look on her. I think she's adorable. And I kind of love the shoes with it. Obviously, it's not what Emily would have chosen
Working
for herself.
Woman.
I was gonna say heels are tennis shoes.
But I love the tennis shoes with it.
Sneakers. Because although jogging just... shoes is what they said.
Did they say jogging shoes?
They
oh my gosh, that
shoes.
Wasn't even one of our options on our athletic shoe debate. But I just think it's cute. I think her little Clydesdale white shoes make a whole complete statement. I think it's fun.
But look how young she looks. Like, picture Pilot Emily versus this Emily. And, like, Pilot mm-hmm. Emily has, like, 20 years on this woman.
Right? Pilot Emily could be this woman's yeah. mother.
Like, I don't know what they were thinking in the pilot, but continue.
Jumping forward, we kind of see people in the same outfits because we pop back and forth for a little bit. The next time we get new outfits, we have Lorelai in kind of a red paisley print top with a tie. I've heard this tie referred to as like a pussy bow. I'm not sure if that is the correct term or if there's a different terminology for that, where you have those long strips that come off the collar and you can either tie them or leave them.
It reminds me, or that type reminds me of her dress in the purple wedding one. Episode that had that yeah. kind of tie around the neck.
Yeah.
It is just similar, yeah. similar,
which I do love that dress.
And she's wearing a beret, which is really cute.
I think
which is like a Rory thing, right? Rory is the one with the berets or like the tied back hair. You don't usually see Lorelai wearing that.
And she does wear that top under a denim blazer. And we see Rachel in kind of like a purplish reddish top with some tan pants. I just thought the outfit was kind of blah, skipped over it. We see our ladies in their black leather jackets. The twins being twins, having a great time, hanging out at the inn. Jumping forward to girl time with Rory and Lane. I've already pointed out, but again, I love her French braid. She has the most gorgeous bone structure. It's just so pretty on her face. It makes me wish they'd pull her hair back more often. And she is wearing a red turtleneck. And as we also already pointed out, Lane looks nice and fresh and young and like a teenager in this mm-hmm. sky blue shirt with kind of an embroidered bodice. It's very colorful. It's very fun. It's just nice to see Lane in something that doesn't make her look like a waiter. one of my notes is that Luke doesn't make his own gravy. Apparently okay. that was important to me. He must have had jars of gravy in the back. And then, okay, so the next time that we see people in new outfits again, it's at our next Friday night dinner, where we see Emily actually being an outfit repeater. She rewears a blue and black with gold buttons outfit that we've seen on her at least once before. But as I've said before, I do really appreciate when we see repeated outfits because it makes them real people. Mm-hmm. Nobody has brand new outfits every single day for the entirety of 7 years. And so it's nice to see reusing the same jackets, reusing the same nice outfits.
Say, if anybody in the show would never repeat an outfit, it would be
Emily. Yeah, absolutely. So it is interesting to see her rewear something. We see Rory in a long black dress that's kind of got embroidery on it. And Lorelai is in a purple wrap top with a purple geometric skirt, or like kind of like the skirt is two different colors, and I love that look on her. I think it's super fresh, and I love the colors too.
I don't know why that dress gave me such rom-com vibes. Like, you can just see her like being in a romantic comedy wearing that dress.
I could see it. Yeah. I could totally see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, wrapping up, we're back at the Dragonfly. Suki is in a purple and white paisley maxi dress with a long cardigan. Lorelai is in what I call her Luke cosplay, which is a gray plaid with rhinestones over a green t-shirt and jeans. And Rory is in dark blue pants with a green turtleneck sweater. And I think they all look like they're having a fun little evening out. I think Suki looks mm-hmm. gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She just looks stunning, as always. I love Melissa. But yeah, I think for as much fashion as there was in this episode, absolutely nothing stood out to me. It was kind of blah. If I was going to steal anything from the episode, it would be either Rachel's jeans or Lorelai's purple wrap top. I thought that was just really cute. Honestly, the two might go together in kind of like a funky way. Add some Doc Martens, you know what I'm saying? Nobody was worse dressed. I really didn't like Rachel's V-neck purple ribbed shirt, but it wasn't enough for me to like say she was the worst.
Not even Lane's pink shirt that made her look like a caterer.
I mean, but like if it had been two buttons unbuttoned, then it would look like every other outfit we've seen Lane in.
I do have an item of clothing that I would burn. Not necessarily because it's bad, but I just feel like it's an insult to humanity, and that is Lorelai's last shirt, that blue cosplay. Yes, the rhinestone plaid shirt is just not good.
She's a rhinestone cowboy.
She really likes rhinestones.
Yeah, no, that's apparent.
More than anybody should.
Luckily, I think we see her move away from that as time goes on. She does get a little bit more tasteful in her clothing selections. It's a weird juxtaposition of styles, rhinestone and plaid, but...
without the rhinestones.
Yeah, no, without it, it looks like a perfectly normal shirt.
From it's far away, it's a cute shirt, and then you get up close and you're like, no, Lorelai, step away from the bedazzler.
And now you understand Emily's, like, nothing that purrs, please.
Yes, exactly.
I will say, there is an outfit I would, or, well, an article of clothing that I would steal. So you said this was just kind of a blah outfit, and that's fine. But Rachel's, like, pinkish, purplish, fuchsia color, like, Henley almost top that she's wearing. Mm-hmm. It just looks so comfy, and I love Henley type tops. And it's not, like, a true Henley. I think the buttons go down a little too far. But, like, it just looks like a comfy, cute, slightly form-fitting but not being too tight kind of top. I would totally wear that.
But yeah, that was fashion. We are almost at the end of season one. I cannot tell you guys how excited I am for a refresh for season two. Get some fresh clothes on these girls. Yeah, that was fashion. And after fashion, we have Stars Hollow Speaks. And we are super fortunate to be continuing to get really great comments and ratings and messages from you guys, and we really appreciate all of them.
Yeah. So, a couple weeks ago, we actually got an email from Rowan, who, by the way, I love your name. Love it. But she emailed us, and she was like, first of all, you guys are the best Gilmore Girl podcast, which, thank you very much. I've been searching for so long for a good one, and yours is exactly the vibe. But okay, so she actually talks about Christopher's return, the episode. And she says that she never understood why Lorelai didn't tell Luke that an emergency did happen. And this is in reference to when she accidentally misses the paint date. And Luke realizes right away that she was with another man, Christopher. She could have definitely told him that it was an actual emergency. She didn't miss painting because she slept with Christopher. She missed it because the entire dinner blew up. She slept with Christopher because the dinner went so wrong. But honestly, she would have missed out on painting anyways because there was no way they were just going to waltz out the house and then she's going to paint. I completely agree. You have such a good point there. She says that she's so passionate about defending Lorelai, and I just feel people really misinterpret the scene. I agree. I think that Lorelai kind of shot herself in the foot there. There wasn't an emergency, and she could have said
Yeah.
But thank you, Rowan.
I wholly agree with that.
For emailing us. Thank you.
And we reached out on Instagram today to see if anybody had thoughts about this particular episode. And Tayshia had a few thoughts. She said, can we just say how iconic the friendship between Emily and Mrs. Kim could have been? Holy moly, that chemistry. Yes. So good. And I loved how Emily had so much fun in Stars Hollow with Rory. It was sweet how Rory wanted to show Emily the tool shed where they lived, but of course it was going to upset your grandmother, sweetie. I really felt for Emily in that moment.
Yeah.
Same, Tayshia. I feel like we said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What a roller coaster for Emily.
It was definitely a slap in the face moment for Emily. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then last for this episode, we also heard from Kendra on Instagram as well. So she goes, I wonder if the reason Lorelai never really encountered Rachel was because of their age. 5 to 6 years earlier, Lorelai was in her 20s, and I think Luke was too. Maybe he's a bit older. If I recall correctly, Rachel said at one point that she was there when Luke opened up the diner. So Luke was maybe not even a thing until the tail end of his relationship with Rachel, assuming he didn't open it in his early 20s. So Luke was just a regular townsperson, not a business owner, for much of his time with Rachel, in which case it would make sense that they never really ran into Lorelai. Also assuming Lorelai did not spend a whole lot of time at the hardware store before it was Luke's. Which, I agree with most of that. I feel like the timeline is just really kind of out of whack. It's hard to really place. There are also people that come in the future that say the same thing of, I was here when you opened this place. So I just don't think they can keep the timeline straight, and nobody really knows. But
Luke's many girlfriends who were there for the opening. It was just Luke and all his girlfriends. That was the opening party.
Yeah. ASP really liked the fact that Luke had an ex-girlfriend, but then she just couldn't keep the same ex-girlfriend. So she just made, like, three of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Kendra.
Yeah, thank you, Kendra, so much for writing in.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I have to give a quick shout out to Carrie. Carrie hasn't been able to write in to us about her thoughts because she hurt her wrist, so we hope you are recovering well. But she and I have been talking a little bit about Love Island. No spoilers, I'm not done yet. I live in the United States, please respect me. But thank you again to everybody who wrote in to us, who left comments. We've also gotten new ratings on Apple Podcasts, which is awesome. So thank you, please keep it up. We're almost to the end of this season, which is huge. Kind of can't believe it.
Yes.
And we're doing it for you guys. And so we're really glad that you're enjoying it.
So to cap off this episode, we're going to talk about coffee, as we do. This was a coffee-heavy episode, guys. Rory had 2 cups of coffee.
I believe it. There's a lot of
weeks. Rory had 2 cups of coffee, but Lorelai had 5 cups of coffee throughout this episode. So, you know, she...
Wow.
She drank at Luke's smoothie time. She did go to the inn and drank there. And, I mean, she needed it because of Rune. And then at the end, the coffee tasted differently. So, is it possible we're going to get less coffee? Tune in. Ooh. Why not next time?
I doubt it.
We know you guys are just here for the coffee.
Yeah, just basically that. That's it.
Yes.
I mean, what else could you want? This has been Emily in Wonderland. And I really like this episode. I already told you guys. I hope you guys like this episode.
Yeah, it's fun and cozy.
I gotta say, Sandra, when you started saying that, I really thought you were gonna say, "This has been Emily," and I was like, "What are we doing?"
I am suddenly Emily.
We're all changing names. This is Jess.
But in reality, I have been Jess,
and I have been Sandra,
and this is. The other Emily.
One of the Emilies. We have a lot of Emilies.
One of the Emilies.
What's going to happen next season with Jess?
I don't know. Emily, Jess, Jess.
I'm just going to proclaim my love for Jess every time, and you're going to be like, is she talking to me?
Ah, shucks.
Anyways, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed. Bye.
And we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Hey, this is Jess. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to reach out, you can do so by email at townmeetingpod@gmail.com. That's townmeetingpod@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram @townmeetingpod.